Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, discover what it means to live a life in the image of God.
If you started to live in who you are, you would start letting go of your old life and say, that is no longer who I am. It's what I was. I need to put to death the ways of my old life and embrace my new life in Jesus Christ. Some of us need to do that. Amen.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. For better or worse, most of us are defined by our identities or our lack of identity. Because sin entered the human condition, we unfortunately often find ourselves in a constant struggle between our old and new natures. As we continue our new series called In His Image, we'll learn what the Bible says about how we can learn to overcome the things that keep us from knowing the true joy of salvation. Our message from Mark Jobe is titled, Rethinking Your Identity.
Sealed. That means that until Jesus comes again, you've been sealed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit until God. Salvation has come through the Holy Spirit who changes you from the inside out. Now, what died inside of you when you came to Christ? Well, you were born with a sin nature. Adam handed that down to you. Every person born since the beginning of creation, since the fall of man, has been born through the seed of man. And you have a fallen nature. That means that when you're old enough, you are predisposed to sin. You have the predisposition to sin because you have a fallen nature. No one has to teach you to sin. You naturally know how to sin because that's your nature. That's your inherited nature. Sin is instinctive to your character. Put a person in an ideal environment, put a person in a perfect world, the most perfect world we can engineer on the face of this earth, put him on an island where there's no television programs that pollute him, where there's no bad influences and people around. We sometimes think that we are fallen because our society has fallen and influences us, but evil lies within us. It's called the total depravity of man. We are broken, dark, with a sinful nature passed down to us through the seed of man. If you were put on a perfect island with little influences, you would still grow up and you would have the proclivity to sin, to go against God. Why? Because it's inside of you. It's part of your nature. It's the fallen nature, the sinful nature. Every human being that's been born down through the generation has inherited a sinful nature. You do not need salvation because your nature is sinful. You need salvation because you act on your nature and you sin. You are condemned not because you have a sinful nature. You're condemned because you sin. Now, what Paul tells us is you died when you came to Christ. What died? What died was your sinful nature, the old you. By the way, I've told you this before, but the reason that Jesus is compared to the second Adam, he's called the second Adam in Scripture, and the reason he had to be born through a virgin was that the seed of man did not impregnate Mary. It was God himself that allowed Mary to be impregnated so that Jesus was born without the sinful nature. He had to bypass the normal procreation process so that Jesus would not be like every human being on the face of this earth with a sinful nature. Jesus was born without a sinful nature. The Son of God could have no sin in him. And he became the second Adam and became that perfect lamb of sacrifice that died for you and I. But the Bible says here that for you died and your life is hidden in Christ. What he's saying is that when you come to Christ, your sinful nature is put to death by the power of God. So now, the moment that you become born again, you receive a new nature, the new person. The old nature has been put to death. You have a new nature. But two of those natures struggle with one another. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. And the Apostle Paul is telling them, since you are a new creation, I want you to start to live out your new identity that you have in Christ. Number two, I'm talking about what it means to take on a new identity. Number two, your new identity will cause you to die to the behaviors of your lower nature. Notice what it tells us in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. The Apostle Paul is saying, you already died to your old self, so stop living like your old self. Some of you have died to your old self, but you've taken the habits of your old lifestyle into your new life. And although you're a believer, you still talk like when you were a non-believer. And although you've been baptized, you still have taken some of the habits of your old life and brought them into your new life. And although you've been washed by God, sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're saved, destined for glory, part of the people of God, sealed under the day of redemption, you've been called a son or daughter of God, but yet you've taken some of the habits that you developed before you were a believer, and you bring them into the new life, and now you've mixed the old habits with the new life, and you're trying to live this weird thing called the new life with the old habits. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so the Apostle Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. The word put to death means to mortify, literally, to make a corpse of, to make dead, to execute, to put to death. So the Apostle Paul says, I want you to put to death the habits and behaviors that belonged in your old life and don't bring them into your new life. It's the idea of pruning. My house has an old tree next to it, and sometimes there's dead branches on that old tree. I look at the branches and I realize there's no life in that branch, even though it's connected to the tree. And if you leave old branches on trees, they sap the energy and life of the tree. And so you need to engage in a process called pruning. Pruning is the cutting off of the old, the dead, that which has no fruit to it, so that that which can have fruit gets all the elements of life in it. What God is saying is that some of us, we are truly born again, but we have dead branches on us that we brought in from the old life, and he says, cut them off. You say, well, what are those dead branches? Well, he says, okay, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, and the Apostle Paul says, that used to be you, but that's not you anymore. Leave it behind. Leave what behind? Well, let me go over it again. Sexual immorality. Okay, let me talk to you for a minute. Sexual immorality is any kind of sexual activity involvement outside of a marriage relationship. Sexual immorality means that if you get involved sexually in a dating couple, sexually outside of marriage, if you're not married and you're sexually involved with another individual, that's called sexual immorality. The Bible says that has no place in the life of a believer. That was the old you, but it's not the new you. We live in a culture that by and large says, I have a physical appetite. If I'm hungry, I eat. I have a sexual appetite. If I'm hungry sexually, I go out and satisfy my sexual appetite. We have taken morality out of sexuality and made sexual involvement what amoral, which means there's no morality attached to it. So if you're in college these days and you understand that there's a bunch of hookups, friends with benefits. That means that I don't know you, you don't know me, I barely know you, but I have a sexual urge, and so we go to a party, and when we're together, and I'm not your boyfriend, you're not my boyfriend, but I give you sexual favors just because it feels good to do it, and see you later, we're not involved, and I don't want anything from you. That's called friends with benefits. Or you may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend in this place, and we have a lot of people that come to Christ, and by and large, we're reaching people from our culture. And so I would assume that we have people in this auditorium right here today that you're started to come to church, but you live with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you've been having sex for years, or you may have two or three or four children, and you've been together for 15 years, and you say, Pastor, what does that mean for me? It means that if you've been together for 15 years and have four children and are not married, that you are living in sexual immorality. Whoa, did it get quiet in the house of God. You say, Pastor, well, what do I do about that? Well, what you do about it is you marry the woman. Four kids later, what are you waiting for? Well, Pastor, I just want a really nice wedding, and it costs a lot. I'm saving up money. Marry her. Seriously. And by the way, if you have kids and you're not married and you're in that same house together and you're planning on getting married, I'm not going to ask you to move out, but I would say couch it until you get married. You say couch it? Yeah, that means sleep on the couch until you get married. Now I'm going to see a lot of people saying, hey, Pastor, when do you have your calendar open? I want to get married as soon as I can. You see, that's the way it works. What Scripture's telling us is that that used to be the way you lived. And by the way, I know that there's someone in here, you're 24 years old, and you're like rolling your eyes in your mind thinking, are you serious, Pastor? I'm 23 years old, and you're telling me that I can't have sex or be involved sexually until I'm married? Yeah, I didn't write it, I just preach it. And you're saying, hold on. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And you're telling me, hold on, I'm not going to be ready to get married till I'm 30. I mean, I got to finish my job, get a career, get my car, get an apartment. Are you seriously telling me, Pastor, that for 7 years, I'm not going to be able to have sex of any kind? Is that what you're telling me? Yes.
Mark, I just have to pause the message right there and talk about this. We'll return to the message here in just a moment, but you're saying some pretty tough things. How'd it go over when you preach this message?
You know, I feel like the Word of God is powerful and strong, and our new identity causes us to live radically countercultural.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of 20-somethings in the church. We have a lot of young adults, Gen Z. Sexual purity is a huge issue. Hmm. And that whole idea that I have to abstain until marriage is like a radical thought for some people. But I'm so proud of people that jump into the Word of God and realize this is not about religious standards. This is about living according to our newfound identity. And I've known so many young adults that are making strong, intentional, aggressive steps to live in purity until they get married.
Well, you may be saying some tough things, but they are in alignment with God's Word. So that gives you boldness, doesn't it?
They are. And you don't know how many times, Wayne, I've had to put my arm around a 25-year-old guy and his girlfriend and say, you're living together. So now that you're a believer, hate to tell you this, you need to move out.
I got some bad news for you.
Yeah, but we do have a marriage counseling thing, premarital counseling.
That's the good news.
That's the great news. And so, and maybe you're listening right now and you're living together and under conviction right now. And I want to tell you, if you're a follower of Jesus, there is no place for sexual immorality. You have a new nature. God's called you to a different standard.
Well, thanks for letting me pause the message and talk about this, Mark. And perhaps there's someone listening who has got someone in their life that needs to hear this message. Why don't you give them the link, boldstepsradio.org, and just encourage them. Don't insist, just encourage them to listen to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Let's get back into the message now from Mark, from our series, In His Image, Rethinking Our Identity.
So he says, that's what you used to do. Sexual immorality, impurity, has to do with anything in between. It has to do with pornography. It has to do with satisfying your sexual urges outside of the confines of marriage. Lust has to do with looking at things that you can't have, but sexually desiring those things that you can't have. And impurity has to do with anything in between as well. And let me just clarify things, because I run into some people that think, well, as long as I don't have intercourse, it's okay. We really haven't had sex. Sexual involvement isn't just intercourse. If you're having oral sex with an individual thinking that that's okay because I'm not having intercourse, that's still sexual involvement called impurity there. In other words, any kind of sexual involvement that you have outside of marriage is under the category of sexual impurity or lust or evil desires, or he puts it in the category of greed and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Because of what? Because of our out of control sexual gratification, he says the wrath of God is coming. Well, what does it mean, the wrath of God is coming? It means that much of our society has this image of God that we've created into our own image. And some of you have an image of God like he's this big old jolly Santa Claus, ho, 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 that's just going to look at whatever you do and say, oh, don't worry about it. We're all humans. It's no big deal. I'm full of love and mercy and compassion, and we all mess up. Ho, ho, ho. Come here and give me a big hug on my big belly. That's Santa Claus, not the sovereign God of the universe. God is love. And he is mercy. And he is compassionate. But the Bible tells us that the wrath of God would consume humanity because of his holiness. In fact, it tells us in the end that the wrath of God is coming. In Romans, it says the wrath of God, this incredible, ferocious wrath, comes upon the children of disobedience. In other words, we have violated the most holy God with our sin, and we deserve the wrath of God, the punishment of God, this powerful consuming fire to be unleashed upon us because of our sin against the holy God. It tells us, however, that God restrains his wrath because of his mercy and his compassion, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you remember when the people of Israel were being set free from Egypt? The last of the seven plagues was the angel of death went through the streets of Egypt and took the life of the firstborn of every Egyptian family. Do you remember that story? It was the wrath, this angel of death. And so God spoke to the people of Israel and he said, if you want to escape the wrath, this death, there's only one thing that you do. You need to take a lamb that's without spot. Slaughter that lamb, and with the blood of that lamb, you need to spray the doorpost of your house with the blood of that lamb. And when the angel of death goes through the streets, when he sees the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of the house, he will pass over that household, and you will not be subject to death like the rest. The Israelites to this day, people in Judaism celebrate the Passover, where the angel of death passes over because the blood on the doorpost. Jesus, when he celebrated the Last Supper, brought in the equivalent of the Last Supper to Christians. We don't celebrate the Passover, but we celebrate the Last Supper. The Last Supper says Jesus' blood and body were broken for me. It's because of his blood shed upon my life that the wrath of God does not consume me, Because when the wrath of God can consume me, he says he sees the righteousness of God imputed to me, the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ that's paid the price. And so when God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus in me when I've accepted him. That is the beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ, Son of God, who pays the sins of humanity. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, I love this verse, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. What ways? Immorality, impurity, lust, greed. That used to be you. You were in the middle of it. That was your life. That's who you were. But listen, that's not who you are today. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a believer and I still sleep with my boyfriend. Listen, because you're not living out your identity. You brought an old habit into a new life, and that is not you. You are a son of the Most High God. You're not living out who you are, because if you started to live in who you are, you would start letting go of your old life and say, that is no longer who I am. It's what I was. It's not who I am. I need to put to death the ways of my old life and embrace my new life in Jesus Christ. Some of us need to do that. Amen? You need to kill the old nature, is what the Word of God says. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. I've used this before, let me say it again. Putting off the old nature is like marrying your wife, but keeping pictures of your old girlfriend in your wallet. How many of you wives would be okay with that? I love you, honey. Oh, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm just keeping the picture of my old girlfriend in my pocket. Just, I don't know, for old memory's sake. Seriously? And let me tell you, how do you put to death the deeds of the old flesh? Because some of you are here and believers, and you're struggling with your old life. You're not living your new life in Jesus. You're new. You're saved. You're born again. The Spirit's inside of you, but you're living under conviction. Nothing more miserable than a believer that's still living the old life, but following God because they're constantly under conviction of the Holy Spirit, not able to have the full joy of their salvation. David said in Psalms 51, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Some of you are believers but have no joy because it's been stolen by the fact that your behaviors are the behaviors of the old life, and you constantly feel conviction by the Holy Spirit. In fact, some of you come to church and you feel conviction. And I've seen some people, you either have one or two choices. When you come to church and you feel conviction, you finally repent and say, God, I'm tired of fighting you. I'm going to surrender. Or you stop coming around because you don't want to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There are people today that instead of being in the house of God are avoiding the house of God because they don't want to be under the conviction that they feel when they come to the house of God. Listen, if you're a believer and you don't feel conviction anymore, then that's a scary thing. If you're a believer and you still can feel conviction, then praise be to God that you feel nasty about the way you're living. It means there's still a degree of sensitivity in your heart driving you to the foot of the cross.
Putting away our old nature allows us to understand and live in the new identity that God has given us. You're listening to Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps. If you miss any portion of our new series, you'll find all these messages and so much more online when you visit boldstepsradio.org. And then with just a few minutes remaining, let me remind you that Bold Steps has a variety of books and resources geared toward helping you grow in your faith. And right now we're offering a book by Mark Sayers that is one part story and one part challenge. It's called The Road Trip That Changed the World. And it details the life of Jack Kerouac, who, like all of us, lived a life sometimes filled with contradictions. Bouncing back and forth between faith and folly, Kerouac may have spent his life searching for the road, but Sayers asks you to consider the signpost of the cross as you're challenged to discover the true call of the Truth Seeker's Road. You can get a copy when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Call us at 844-615-7363 or give online and request the book by visiting boldstepsradio.org. And also, while you're online, be sure to sign up for the new Bold Stepper Weekly. It's delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning. Sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue to learn what it means to start living in our new identity. That's coming up Thursday on the next edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.